Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the pod staff. Here with me today, I have Zach Schaefer. Zach and I know each other because we grew up on the same street together and used to play together as kids. And, you know, we're friends all through high school and middle school and all that good stuff. And keep in touch from time to time. We're both in similar sales jobs, you know, doing staffing and tech sales and recruiting and all that good stuff. So we had a lot to talk about. We've both always been very interested in entrepreneurship. I had a landscaping business back in the day, and we would always bounce ideas off each other when he had an idea or I had an idea. And it's kind of come full circle now because, you know, I have this business now, the podcast, and you've got your business, which I want to get into, Easy Media. So you started this business when?
We like filed for LLC and everything probably in like June 2025. So it's pretty recent. You know, it's about, you know, 5-6 months, you know, whatnot. But yeah, it's going really well.
Awesome. So just tell us about, you know, the business model or, you know, anything about like your reason for starting this business and getting away from the corporate environment, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, before I started the business, we were, you know, I was working a corporate sales job, just doing staffing for like physicians, doctors, stuff like that. Not a bad gig, you know, good base pay, you know, good commissions, all things like that. Just kind of boring. You know, we would show up. It's, you know, you're kind of just, you can really feel yourself getting on that hamster wheel. And there's not a lot of like compounding that happens in a job like that. So I've always wanted to like start my own business and kind of do my own thing, like Michael said. And, you know, just kind of started it on the side and wanted something that like my effort could compound on. And, you know, my birthday was Monday. I just turned 27, so I feel super old. But like in the grand scheme of things and like how long we'll be working for, like I wanted to start something now that like could really compound and like grow over time and just, you know, kind of like bet on myself in a sense.
Yeah, I saw a quote yesterday. It was like, the fastest way to get where you want to be is to slow down and just do it. Yeah. And I think that really spoke to me. It's ironic, but it kind of spoke to me because it was, you know, we always think, you know, immediate gratification. I want this now. I want this business to blow up right now. And that's just not the case. But in your case, it actually seems like you were able to already get a bunch of clients. I see your social media, Easy Media. We'll talk about that at the end. But want to learn just a little bit about, you know, speaking to the people who have wanted to start a business. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I want to do rental properties, or I want to do a podcast and maybe a media business, and just never really do it because of the daunting tasks or the daunting amount of money that they think it's going to take. And you told me that your startup costs were relatively low. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say, like, obviously do it. Like, I started on the side and then it got to the point where, you know, I needed to bring someone else on. We can touch on that in a second. But yeah, I mean, whatever like business you're trying to get, obviously some have higher startup costs than others. Mine was relatively low just because it's a digital service, which is a great business to start. And, you know, one I would obviously recommend because we've had good success out of the gate and, you know, a compound. So I wanted a business that, you know, had low startup cost, I could do from anywhere and had monthly recurring revenue for anything I was doing. Cause I didn't want to like, I want to sell someone once and get paid on that essentially forever. Unless the client leaves, we're getting paid on them forever. And if we're doing our job, they should never leave. So yeah, I mean, startup costs like LLC and all stuff like that, I mean, that's less than $500. Softwares and stuff like that, we probably pay about $500 a month. We have a marketing business. So like that's one avenue we get clients from is, you know, online marketing. So we spend, you know, a few thousand dollars a month in that. But it's a great business in terms of low startup cost and high profit margin. So, I mean, we're profitable on our clients month one. And like I said, they're staying with us hopefully forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great model. So really like it.
It sounds like it. Tell me about any co-founders, employees, anything like that. We talked a little bit about it, but I know to my knowledge, you are the sole partner and then you've got some employees or partners involved as well.
Yeah. To an extent. So I do have a partner in it right now, Carson. I did start the company on my own, but I realized quickly I needed help. And, you know, Carson was at a point where, you know, he really wanted to, you know, do this with me and come on board. And he's an amazing friend and I lean on him all the time. And he's a great partner to have. Mm-hmm. He, you know, neither one of us really had experience in the space, but the one thing that's amazing about Carson and why I'm thankful for him is he is consistent and he's positive. Like even if stuff's not going good or whatever it is, he is always showing up and he's always positive, which for me really helps like keep me on track. And, you know, just positive and like having that influence around is always good. But to answer the question, I did start it on my own, brought Carson in shortly after. he has 20% of the company as of right now. And, you know, hoping to, you know, move in a way that, you know, I can give him more, you know, because it's, you know, one of my goals to, you know, us be really successful together. And I, you know, we can do that at this model, but obviously want to grow that. And then, yeah, we have a cold caller. Her name is Judy. She's amazing. And then we also have a video editor, which was probably one of the best hires I made, just video editing and just doing all that sort of stuff. Takes a lot of time, so it's really nice to have that.
Yeah, I'm blessed enough to have a girlfriend that is really good at video editing. So
that is, yeah. I mean, video it takes forever, but it can make in our industry, like running ads. Like you want your ads to look good. That's, you know, for my company, you don't want anyone to waste money, so you need good ads. So mm-hmm. a good video editor, yeah, for either one is crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's three people. You've got a cold caller, you've got a partner, and then there's you.
Video editor too.
Video editor, four people. So the cold caller, tell us about that, because I know we talked about her being in another country and how'd you get connected with her, things like that.
So yeah, if you're starting any sort of business or you could like outsource current tasks at like your current job, you know, for a very cheap cost, you know, I'd recommend it. So I use a site called onlinejobs.ph. Basically, it's just a bunch of people in the Philippines that are looking for work on American hours. So that's where I found my video editor. And I found multiple cold callers from there. Judy's been, you know, one that's stuck around. And so, you know, we reward her and pay her, you know, really well. And, you know, blessed to have both of them. So,
yeah,
if you're looking to hire, you know, people, it's a good spot.
Yeah.
Especially when you're starting out, because you don't have a ton of money when you're starting out to pay an American salary or all these different things. But it's a huge salary over there. So, you know, we're very blessed to have them and being able to help them support their family.
Yeah, because I think there's a misconception around hiring from the Philippines or, you know, a different country where people have said, oh, well, you know, you're ripping them off or you're just outsourcing. But when we talked, it seemed like, no, I mean, that is a really good salary. While it might be less than what we would pay someone in the U.S., that's a really good salary for over there.
Yeah, look at the conversions. I mean, you probably have no idea, but
look at the facts.
Yeah, literally. Like, I mean, she, you know, both of them are extremely grateful, and you know, people don't really work too hard in the United States. Obviously, I mean, there's good and bad apples anywhere, but like, I mean, they are super grateful. They're always looking for more work. You know, and cold calling's tough. And she's always showing up with a good attitude. She's always doing the details and like. We have Slack channels to where she'll fill out like her end of day report, put her numbers, what went well for the day, what worked bad, what she might need help with. Mm-hmm. And she's always on it. She's never missed a day. Yeah, she's just
she like, does that 5 days a week too?
Yeah.
Nice. So with that, who's your client base? Like who the ideal client base or maybe even a general base of industry?
Yeah, it changed over time. Right now, we are really just looking to work with concrete companies nationwide. We could also do like concrete coating and epoxy companies. When you first start out, and a lot of the research I was doing while I was thinking about starting the agency is you hear a lot of big people say, hey, you should niche down. And like, we never really like paid that much mind. And we were kind of going after everyone, especially because we were new and we were just starting in DFW. There's only a certain amount of like companies in DFW that do fencing companies or lawn care companies. So since then, we've branched out nationwide and niche down because you'll realize that service delivery, how quickly you can onboard someone, and just knowledge about the industry, seasonality, everything is different for all these industries. How you're making the videos, how you're messaging, the offers you're running. Like if you can just dial that into one service industry, it's massive. And you know, choosing the right one, and there's more than enough companies nationwide for you to make a ton of money. Even if you want to make more money, you could raise prices and deliver better, different services. Like there's just so many things you could do. I would definitely recommend niching down. But right now, to answer the question, concrete companies. But when we started, it was like all home service companies, like roofers, I mean, fencing companies, lawn care, glass, epoxy, GCs, I mean, everything.
Mm-hmm. So you would recommend niching down just for maybe a media business or just in general business?
I don't know. I mean, say, like, I'm a GC.
General contractor.
Yeah, general contractor. So, like, and I'm just thinking about this from, like, a marketer's perspective. So, if I'm running an ad and I'm saying, hey, I'm a general contractor, if you need anything from your home, that 9 times out of 10 isn't going to get as many hits as, hey, I do just bathroom remodels. Mm-hmm. The bathroom remodeler is going to get a lot more foot traffic, both from, like, the algorithm and just on a needs basis. Because when you can go to, like, someone's direct service that they're thinking to get versus just like having to have the consumer like think, oh, do I need anything GC? What can they do? You'll still get some stuff, you know, going broad, but yeah, niching down.
And for marketing, I mean, for marketing, that probably definitely helps you dial in what your marketing effort should look like, and you know, exactly. which group of people that you're trying to appeal to.
Yeah, and if I was running a campaign, just like to finish the GC tangent, like I would say I would have run like multiple different campaigns. Like, hey, here's a campaign just for bathroom remodels. Here's one for kitchen, as opposed to just running a single campaign where you're trying to attract everyone, because that's what we learned, and that's what we learned from running our ads. We tried, hey, if you're a home service company or you know, a blue collar business, you know, tap in with us, and our cost per lead was higher, our quality of the leads was lower. And then when we niche down to say, hey, if you're just a concrete company doing over $1 million a year, right? A lot more specific, you know, feels a lot smaller, but you have a lot more people coming to the door and you know exactly who they are and what they want.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting. So in terms of, you know, we talked about your employee base or your partner base and all that good stuff. So I want to hear a little bit about, you know, you being the first founder of this company and the sole or the majority owner of this company. Yeah. What are your duties? And then I also want that to, you know, tie in a little bit with the art of delegation and how letting go of some of that control is good, but it's also hard mentally.
It is hard. I mean, I'm trying to do that in my professional life and in my personal life. You know,
you and letting, me both, brother.
Yeah. Letting go of things that you just can't. It doesn't serve you at all. But yeah, not even to go down that rabbit hole. But in terms of like just what I do in the business, I mean, at our stage, you know, I mean, 6 months in, you know, we've had good success and, you know, extremely blessed. You know, God's given that to us. But I do everything. I mean, I've, you know, had to learn like bookkeeping, accounting, because I don't want to get just like railed at the end of the year, like, you know, taking some money out, you know, when we bill clients and, you know, setting that aside for taxes. I mean, payroll, you know, all the back end stuff. I mean, automation systems, plus, I mean, managing the team and leadership and strip writing, and then plus, you know, marketing and copywriting and all that sort of stuff, because I didn't know anything about any of this. I just knew I wanted to do marketing and have my own thing for, I knew I wanted my own thing for my entire life, but I knew I wanted to do marketing for about 3 years. And then I said about 6 months ago, I finally did it. So
yeah,
I wore all the hats and, you know, I've had to learn a lot.
Now, how did you learn all that stuff? Because I think one of the things that, you know, I wanted to bring you on for is just that getting over that daunting hump for any person who's on the verge of starting a business or maybe a new business owner that is outsourcing that stuff right now. But it sounds like, and what stuck out to me was the accounting piece. I mean, a lot of people would think, wow, the accounting is very daunting. I've got to have an accountant for that or anything like that. But how did you learn all that?
Yeah, in terms of like just the accounting, it's very elementary. Like, I mean, just like using QuickBooks and like just making sure every transaction comes in, I'm putting in the correct bucket, then just like setting money aside, and then like, you know, P&Ls and like expenses versus just like, you know, our overhead and just kind of stuff like that. I mean, that's all like pretty basic, but like my advice is probably to be like for that and everything, including like the marketing and, you just, I mean, if you want it, it's out there. Like everything's out there. Like you can learn anything online. Like for when I was first starting, like the main skill in marketing and building these different systems and automations and just kind of everything we do in the agency, I, man, I mean, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter, courses, Discords, relationships, like any place I could find some information and like that I could, you know, communicate with someone with, I was on. Mm-hmm. Like there's people that are far more ahead of you that are willing to help you. You just have to like make those relationships. And that's, you know, we were talking about this the other day. I, you would meet people in those groups, or I would, you know, find a small creator on YouTube that was doing big numbers, just they weren't like famous or, you know, and they, but they were still miles ahead of me. So I would blow them up. I would comment on their stuff. I would send a message. Hey, let's jump on a call. You know, I'll buy you lunch. I'll send you some money, whatever it is. Just to kind of, you know, shortcut my ignorance.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. I mean, people are willing to help you. You just have to, you know, go for it.
When I think, too, there's a, especially, you know, us being in our 20s, like there's a big pride factor, I think, that goes into a lot of our decision making. And I think some of that could bleed over into thinking, well, I should have it all together, so I'm not going to humble myself and ask for advice because I should present as I'm, you know, I know everything about it, I'm all together. or I'm all put together. So did it take some humility to be like, you know what, I'm just going to reach out to...
Not at all, no.
Really?
I mean, there was no one like that I like feared or something that like I had to reach out to like dad help me or something. You know what I mean? It was nothing like that.
So
I mean,
what you're saying is it's natural humility that you've kind of already had while starting this.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, it's like there's that thing, and I'm not the wisest person, but like you could look like a fool for a moment or you could look like a fool for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'd want to do this forever. And it's like, oh, I'm getting later in life. I'm advancing my career. I'm doing all this. But like, you know, I know when I'm 32, you know, that sounds so far and so old. You know, I know I wish I would have done this now. And like when I was thinking about starting, I wish I would have done it 3 years. You're always going to, I mean, there wasn't really like a ton that I like.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just out there asking, learning everything.
So in terms of like the minimum viable product, I know like in entrepreneurship or business school, we talk about the minimum viable product. So what would you say your MVP, minimum viable product is in the media space?
Yeah, just like what's our main service offering, correct?
Yeah, you're just like, you're, what did you go to market with first?
So we started with just like I said, all home service companies in Dallas. And, you know, one of, and, you know, when we first started too, we thought it had to be complicated. Okay, we have to do something no one else does, or we have to do something. And we tried to make this super complex offer that wasn't high and like, you know, that we couldn't duplicate super easily. Like, what services can we offer and, you know, have all these things that's going to be great value. So we started in Dallas, and so like our biggest differentiator was like, hey, we'll come out to the job, like we'll film your whole job, and that way when we're running ads, it's going to be your jobs, because really every other agency just uses like footage they already have, which is mid. It's just like the 50-year-old blue-collar business owner just like hitting a quit pan. Yeah.
On an Android.
Yeah, literally. And it's like the worst footage. It's like, hey, we will get you like custom footage of your crews, your trucks, your shirts, your process, your before and afters. So that was like our main core offer. Now we're more nationwide. So like one of our upsell options we have is we'll come out to your job site and film. Mm-hmm. That costs, like just pay for travel and we'll like spend our time and like come out there and do that for you.
And most companies won't do that in the space?
Most marketing companies, no.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the things you have to think when you're starting a company as well is like barriers to entry. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, a digital service and products like we have, it's really not that hard. Like I said, it's pretty low startup costs. Barrier to entries are pretty low, which isn't the best. I mean, there's a lot of other, but when you're having low startup costs, you're probably also going to have low barriers to entry. And then, so, you know, things you have to focus on are like those differentiators, like I said, coming out to film, branding results, kind of things like that. Yeah. And that's just kind of like what we've been focused on. The core offer has kind of changed, but essentially, you know, we'll just generate you leads and we'll help you close those leads. Like we have a back end CRM system that will welcome, follow up and nurture all those leads. We're doing pretty good at advertising and getting good results and getting multiples on people's money. And that was kind of the whole premise we started the company on. It's like, hey, if I could make you $100,000, you know, profit, you would easily give me 10 of that, right? And then that's an easy yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of like just what we strive to do.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And the last thing I think I want to touch on for the business side of things is, we talked a lot about workflows. That came up a lot in our intro conversation for this podcast. Tell us a little bit about the workflows. I think that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of people, but I'm interested in what it means for you and having a media business.
Yeah, so ours just like implement with our CRM. When a lead comes in, you know, someone submits a lead form through our advertising campaign. Typically, we're advertising just on like Facebook and Instagram. We find, you know, lower cost per leads, and you can get a lot better messaging on those platforms than like Google, where people are just like clicking on a blue link. It's not really, not a lot of interaction. You can do a lot more education on Facebook, Instagram, and that's where people spend most of their times. Yeah, so like the first thing that gets it off in our workflows will run for an entire year on that single lead, alternating between things like voice, you know, dropping voicemails, but mainly texting and emailing. And so a lead comes in, you know, it creates an opportunity inside the CRM. It notifies me, Carson, and, you know, whoever the decision makers are in the business. And then it's going to alternate between, you know, texting the lead and emailing the lead. Like I said, it welcomes them in. Hey, thanks so much for reaching out. You know, what type of job is this? And when is a good time for us to give you a call and reach out? And then, yeah, I mean, kind of just follows up with that lead via text and email for about a full year. It catches a lot. You would be surprised. Not every lead we have that like comes in is like, oh yeah, I'm ready to buy right now. Like, give me a call. Especially on like, you know, we have remodeling clients.
Yeah, what's the sales cycle like? Like, is it a quick
turnaround?
For me or
the clients?
For the clients.
It depends. I mean, like I said, I mean, we have roofing clients, we have remodeling clients, we have epoxy clients, you know, garage doors, a bunch of things right now. You know, we're niching down to concrete and we've, you know, have a lot more concrete clients now, but it just depends. It depends on job size.
And what's the, like, if you get an MQL, marketing qualified lead come in, then, you know, what's your turnaround time on converting that to a prospect, to a client?
It just depends. For my company or for...
For your company.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I know a lot more stuff about that just in terms... It just depends. I mean, so we have, at the end of our form, you know, we have a calendar link. So it's like, hey, skip the line. Go ahead and, like, book a time that's good for us to call you. And then that, it, you know, someone typically booked a time within 72 hours, just depending on, like, kind of day of the week and stuff like that. A lot of times it's next day, and yeah, I mean, we'll call someone, typically have like a quick 10-minute intro call, and then from there, do like a 20-minute Zoom call, you know, those, you know, so intro calls about a day out, and then the Zoom calls typically booked within 48 hours, and then if everything looks good from there, yeah, we'll kind of just onboard them, just like getting their business information, you know, gaining access to their ad account, and just kind of setting them up in the CRM, getting their login, just kind of stuff like that.
So within a week from that lead comes your way, your cold caller had someone on the hook, within a week, that client is now converting to the onboarding steps of your business.
Yeah. It should depend on timeline and seasonality. Like, we have a lot of people right now that are, you know, pushing it to the new year, 2026. So, you know, we're running offers and things like that to mitigate that. And just like awareness, like, hey, that's kind of what everyone's doing. There's a lot of opportunity on the table right now, which is something I believe.
Moving on, I do want to talk about relationships. I know we talked kind of about our personal experiences, as much as you want to share. And then we kind of tied that in with the faith journey too.
Yeah.
You know, the barrier in a relationship, if one person is trying to grow in their faith, or maybe one person has a different idea of what faith means to them, that could pose, you know, a moral issue later down the road, because your values don't align. And maybe that carries over into having kids, things like that. So tell us about your experience with that.
Yeah, I mean, whether, you know, you're doing something like business or relationship, like finding someone who is like equally yoked as you is huge. You know, that's like you said, going to affect, you know, down the road, and, you know, just something like y'all need to be aligned on.
So your specific faith journey, like what does faith mean to you? What, you know, we talked about going to church. We go to similar churches. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's been huge. You know, I've gone through, you know, things to where, you know, I've really had to, you know, lean on God and trust Him. And, you know, He's really, you know, poured in myself and the business. And just honestly, like, whenever I feel the most lost is when I'm like the farthest away. So it's like, and, you know, I've been getting better at, you know, thanking Him at all seasons of my life and really reflecting on like gratitude. Cause like, truthfully, like, I have an amazing life. Like, I have a great family. Like, I have great parents. I have great friends that I've known for, like, my whole life. And, you know, like I said, my birthday was the other day. I met a lot of people that I've known, including Michael, for 25 years. And it was my 27th birthday. You know what I mean? And it, like, there were, like, eight people.
Yeah, we were, just so for the listeners, we were blessed enough to grow up on a street that, what was it, seven or eight of us were in the same grade coming up together. So, I mean, we had a great childhood in that regard, because we would just go knock on each other's doors before cell phones were big and smartphones, and just say,
before they were even around.
Can Zach play today? And we just go shoot hoops or throw the football or play Crush the Carrier or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, phenomenally blessed. Like, I'm able to have my own business. I'm able to travel around. I'm able to, you know, support myself. And, you know, hopefully the goal is to, you know, retire my mom and support, you know, friends and family if they need it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to, you know, provide that shade for people that, you know, something like is hard going on, or, you know, say, you know, your best friend had like some health issues and like he can't afford those bills, or just like whatever it is, you know, be able to provide that. And that's something that's important for me, and you know, want to do for myself first and foremost, but then also family and those around me. But yeah, Jesus is huge. You have to have faith. You don't do like any of this on your own. Having, you know, partners, both, you know, friendships and business and relationships, like you need someone who, you know, has that as well and like supports you and, you know, just does all those things. That's mm-hmm. absolutely massive.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that you're talking about your reason for wanting your business to, or part of the reason for you wanting it to blow up and be wildly successful is not, you hear a lot of people that are like, I want a Ferrari, I want, and I'm sure, you know, all those things.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind one.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind one, but it's not often you hear someone say, I want to be wildly successful financially in business to help people, especially giving money away for people who need it. That's not overly common, especially with people who make more and more money as time goes on.
Yeah, I mean, life's always going to throw problems at you, and I'd way rather have money and problems than, or obviously, like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if it's, like, something where money's required, you know what I mean? Like, you need a surgery or something, be able to have money for that surgery is going to relieve a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But
now, were you always strong in your faith? We never really talked about it growing up. I know we both probably always had, you know, some level of faith. I grew up in the church and stuff like that, but I think it was interesting for us both to have brought that up whenever we had our intro call for this, and it's just not really something you and I had discussed before. I think anxiety for me bubbles up whenever I'm far away from God, and I've been far away from God multiple times, more times than I would like to admit, but I think I've had a recent experience as well with the relationship piece of it, where God just shed his wonderful light in my life. You know, I had a relationship before. It was a good relationship. You know, we were good friends and all that good stuff, but there was that value barrier. Yeah. So decided to call it quits and just go our separate ways. And, you know, that lonely period, I think we talked a little bit about that too, that lonely period where you have to trust God. It's kind of like God's way of bringing you back to him to say, hey, you're lonely now. This is the time when I'm going to shed the light and the love and the grace that, you know, we were designed to experience in his presence. So, you know, months later, I met a girl, and it was just an instant value alignment, attraction, just all the things that are necessary for a very healthy relationship that was put into my life very recently. Mm-hmm. And that just shows you that it's not always you're going to be alone for 2 years or something like that. I mean, God can throw whoever he wants into your life at any given time, as long as you are the person that he deems worthy of having that. And because I think a lot of people look for love in the wrong places. You know, people think that if they stay at the bar till 2 a.m, maybe they'll find their wife. But they say they want someone with Christian values and a long laundry list of items that they don't currently practice themselves.
My thing is, I just really try to focus on like becoming the best version of myself I can be. And like, mm-hmm. I think God has a plan for your life, like I was saying. And I think the best plan in the way you're going to get the most fruit out of life is becoming the best version of you you can be. Because if his plan is up here, but you're operating down here, you might never reach that.
Right.
And he's got, like, your life can be so blessed and so different and just amazing, but it's your responsibility to be able to live up to that so you can, you know, catch those blessings, essentially.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I kind of want to bring it all back together on the business side and the faith journey and all that, because I think it's a lot of people struggle. I know I struggle sometimes, you know, wanting a healthy amount of pay in my life. I want money. I want nicer things, but balancing that with also faith. And some people, you know, there's pastors and, you know, just people with opinions on having too much is not godly. But I personally am kind of the belief that as long as your heart is in the right place, blessings are okay to accept. What's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you're a good moral person and you're, you know, if I'm like helping a lot of, just like in my scenario, like if I'm just helping a lot of people, you know, make a lot of money, then I start making some money because of that or whatever it is. Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah, I think I've heard a quote, I'll probably butcher it, but something along the lines of money doesn't change people, it just shows the world who you really are. Because if you're a really good person and you have money, you're going to bless people with it, you're going to do nice things for people, and you know, it all comes full circle. But the people who are greedy and selfish, it's going to be tougher for them to be a good steward in the world, especially a steward for God as well.
Yeah, and I want to, you know, give money back to the church and, like I said, support people. And Yeah, I mean, just make sure everyone around me is shaded.
What do you think about tithing?
You're just like giving money back to the church?
Yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of different things. Some people say give 10% of your pre-tax income. People say give what you can. And then someone recently told me that, especially if you're not a multimillionaire, giving a big percentage of that to the church, tithing is really for you to know that you sacrifice something for God. It may not change the church's bank account much, may not change the community's projects very much, but I think that's why a lot of people don't give, because they think, well, I'm only giving $200 a month. That's not going to do anything, especially in DFW with these mega churches. Would you agree with that?
I feel like, yeah, I mean, you should give, and I feel like you should be generous with your giving, and then, like, only you, like, know what that is. But, I mean, there's a lot of different ways, and everyone, like, has their own practices and, like, different relationships with money.
So I want to talk about your next steps. I know you have a big move coming up, and then I also want you to, you know, let people know how maybe someone watching has a project they need done or needs a media company, something like that. Like, how do they get in touch with you? And then we'll talk about your next steps at the end.
Yeah. I mean, if you just want to, you know, www.easymediaresults, easy as an elephant zebra, .com or the Easy Media on Instagram, you know, just send me a message. Or, you know, if you're a concrete company and you're looking to, you know, actually scale up your business and stop relying on word of mouth, because that's what most of them do, and that's what we're really trying to mitigate against. Because people and their, like, exact customers are spending their time on Facebook, you know, a couple hours a day. So, you know, we would really want to make something for them to put in front of those customers that are already looking for their services. Just, you know, a lot of companies are owned by, you know, older people that might not be that technically savvy. So that's why we like helping them out, you know, bringing them more leads, making them more money, saving them more time on the follow-up process, and just, you know, kind of modernizing their business.
Okay. Are y'all on Instagram, TikTok,
all that stuff? Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, no TikTok. Yeah, and then the website.
Okay. Awesome. Now for your move. I thought this was really interesting just because of the reasoning behind it and the amount of drive that you're grabbing from other people in this move, but I won't steal anything else. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm leaving anything out, let me know. But yeah, I mean, essentially me, Carson, like I said, the guy I worked in the business with, great guy, and one of our other buddies, Tyler, who we also grew up with, he has a clothing company.
I think it's Dead Star Fashion.
Yeah,
Dead Star. Shout out, Tyler.
And yeah, so we're all just moving to Austin. You know, we live in Dallas right now for context, and then we're all probably need to go to Austin for, you know, a couple months, maybe stay, I don't know. I mean, just kind of, you know, feel it out. But, you know, we're all, you know, trying to like have our own things. We're able to, you know, work from anywhere. And, you know, we've lived here our whole life. So, yeah, for the, you know, one of the first times in my life, like I've, you know, kind of just been ready to, you know, get somewhere new, new people and all those sort of things. So, yeah, we're
now,
excited.
What's your plan for people covering the job sites for your business, you know, going out and giving estimates and all that good stuff? So I know that, you know, you have Carson, and I've seen you on some job sites as well. Do you have someone in place for that?
Yeah, I mean, we could always probably find people. Like, I have a lot of friends in the area that could do that. Or, like, Austin's really 2.5 hours, 3 hours from us, so it's really not that far if we ever needed to come back. Plus, I mean, we can grow our base in Austin while we're there. We can get a lot more companies there. Additionally, I mean, we have content for all these companies that we film for to run ads for them for a year, 2 years. So we don't really need to go back. If they needed us to, and it was, you know, a certain scenario, we absolutely would. Or, you know, we could find someone in the area. Plus, like I said, we're trying to move more national. So, yeah, I mean, we got good, you know, plans in place for that. And that's one thing we've been working on over the past couple of months, is trying to become more of that company that can do it from anywhere.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you'd want to share with our listeners for, you know, anything motivational, anything about the company that you maybe left out?
No. I mean, if you want to do something, like I said, I would just try to focus on something that, you know, has good profit margins, that you can build on the side, that, you know, I like monthly recurring revenue, and start small. All the information you need is out there. There's no better time to start as well. Trust me, I mean, I kicked the can down the road for 2.5 years, and I wish, you know, I'd be in a very different spot if I started, you know, and it was going this well and everything, if I would have started it back then. So, yeah, I mean, do it for yourself, do it for your family, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, start somewhere. You know, that's what I've done with this podcast. You know, a lot of people want to start something and they're maybe kick the can down the road. So I think this is, if you're watching this, this is your sign to go ahead and start that business. You don't have to quit your job to do it. Just start the business. See how it goes. If it fails, it fails. But start somewhere, because no one that is successful has not failed before.
So. Yeah, 100%. I definitely recommend it. Yeah, kudos to you as well for getting it going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you.
It's a lot easier to start than people realize. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be a lot harder to grow or to monetize.
It's time consuming, but it is simple.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, especially when you're first starting out, there's so much stuff you didn't know, like we already talked about. But yeah, I mean, you can figure it out. Thousands and thousands of people have done it. If you drive down the highway, you know, you'll pass hundreds of businesses with huge buildings. And, you know, there's no reason you couldn't build something small that could probably, you know, replace your income.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on. Yeah. Zach Schaefer, everyone. Easy Media. Hit them up on social media. Go to their website. If you are having a trouble getting in touch with anyone, or maybe you can't find their page, drop a comment on this video and we will get you in touch.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.